Yeah, I would like to thank the organizers for giving me the chance to talk in this conference in a beautiful place. And if you allow me, I would like to make a very small promotion for a conference which will be held in Strasbourg on next September. And the subject is quantum groups and category definition and not theory. And it will be in the occasion of Christian Kelsen's birthday. And so you're welcome to register if you can come. So my talk is a joint talk with Jean-Baptiste Mélan from Grenoble. And in this work, we study some equivalence relations among three-dimensional manifolds, which are defined by Coulomb-Pass operations along embedded surfaces. And we have a focus on the case of some three manifolds with boundaries, which are called homologous singles. And I will recall all the definitions in due time. So first, I would like to recall the definitions of the relations in full unity for any kind of manifold. So and for that, I use the Torelli group. So the Torelli group has appeared in Christian Kloch. So I'm considering the border surface, by which I mean a surface which is compact, connected, and oriented with exactly one boundary component. And for that surface, the Torelli group, which I denote as purely I sigma, is defined to be all homomorphisms of sigma, which fix the boundary point-wise, and which do nothing in homology. And of course, we consider them up to allotropy. So the Torelli group is a subgroup of the mapping group. And on this group, we can consider at least two key questions. So the first one can be considered for any group. And it is a Lower Central series, which I denote by gamma. And I start with, so my convention is to start with gamma 1 equal to the group. And then that's the usual definition. And the second question, which I shall need, involve the action of the mapping class group of the Torelli group on the fundamental group of the surface. And the fundamental group is denoted by phi. And the base point is put on the boundary. So this action is sometimes called the Dennison permutation, because Dennison has proved a long time ago that it is injective. But we wish to lose this injectivity by reducing pi to its kth important quotient. And we call rho k the corresponding important quotient. And then we obtain a filtration, which is usually called the Johnson filtration, and which is defined by considering for any integer k this kernel. And the first term is the Torelli group itself. So something which has to be known about this equation is that if you take the commutator of an element of degree I with an element of degree L, then this commutator, this product of commutator, will be an element of degree I plus L. So this implies that the Lower Central series is finer than the Johnson filtration. Okay, so we have two filtrations, the Lower Central series and the Johnson filtration. So now we are going to consider three manifolds. So all my manifolds will be compact and oriented, but they may have boundary, or they may be closed. They may also have boundary. And if they have boundary, I assume that this boundary is parameterized in the sense that it comes identified in a given way with a reference fixed surface. And one way to modify the manifold M without modifying its homology is to consider solve. So we choose inside M a surface, capital S, and an element, small s, of the Torelli group, capital S. And then we cut M along S, and we go back using small s. So we obtain a new manifold, and by Meyer-Witowicz, this manifold are the same homology as M because we have assumed small s to act trivially in homology. And so we call this move, is usually called the Torelli's surgery. So now we can be more exigent, more restrictive. We can put some conditions on the growing of holomorphism small s. And we make the following definition. So we declare two manifolds, N and N prime, to be YK equivalent if N prime can be obtained from N by such a surgery in such a way that the growing homomorphism belongs to the kth term of the lower central series. Okay. And we can do a similar definition, but now instead of the lower central series, we use the Johnson filtration. So I recall that this means that this small s is assumed to act trivially at the level of the kth prepotent quotient. So about the terminology, so the JK equivalence is called like this. The J refers to Johnson, and the Y here refers to the Y surgeries introduced and studied by Gusarov and Abiro. And I will recall their viewpoint on these relations a little bit better. Okay. So we can make the definitions for any integer k, and so we have obtained many equivalence relations. But they have there is a hierarchy between them. So first of all, because both the lower central series and the Johnson filtration are decreasing sequence of subgroups, we have obtained two sequences of equivalence relations which are finer and finer when k increases. And furthermore, because the lower central series is contained in the Johnson filtration, for any k, it is true that yk implies jk. And the special case where k is equal to 1, there is no restriction on the Torelli surgery, and we have y1 equal to j1. Okay. So that's the relations we would like to consider. And so let us consider the simplest example. So the example of homology space. So I denote by ZHS the set of integral homology spheres. And I recall what is known about these relations in that case. So the first result is attributed by Eden to Biermann, who first observed that any homology sphere is J1 equivalent to S. And later, Morita proved using the result of Cassan that any homology sphere is J2 equivalent to S. So this amounts to saying that any homology sphere is obtained from S3 by surgery along nil homologous knots, which are crossed at minus 1 prime. So that's the same result. And more recently, Pitch proved that we can go one step beyond. So any homology sphere is J3 equivalent to S3. But as far as I know, it is not known if J4 is trivial for homology spheres. So now, what can be said about the YK equivalence relation? So we can repeat the man's result, because Y1 is equal to J1. But afterwards, the relations are not trivial either. So the Y2 relations is not trivial, and according to Abiro, it is classified by Hopkins human variant. So the signature of a spin compact for manifold which bonds the homology space. And Abiro also proved that the Y3 equivalence and next the Y4 equivalence are both classified by Cassan invariants. So we would like to consider these relations, and in particular the Y equivalence relations, which are motivated by the theory of finite invariance, for a class of manifold which generalize homology spheres. So let us now, if you have no questions.
So wait, is there a natural map between the last two, and if so, is it the identity?
Between the last two, yes. I mean there is a Clochard map from there to there.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, from there to there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is identity. and and it is actually an isomorphism of groups. There is group structures, and these questions can be come back with later. And they are group isomorphisms. Okay, so now I go back to define homology singers. So homology singers is a classical notion, but they have played a big role in the work of Busseroff and Aviro, I shall recall. But first, first, I recall the definition. So, a homology cylinder is a compact oriented three manifold which comes with identification of its boundary with the boundary of the usual of the trivial cylinder. And it is called a homology cylinder because there is a homological condition, and that there is an isomorphism between the homology of the trivial cylinder and the homology of N, which is compatible with the boundary identification in the sense that this square covers. So in a few words, we can say that a homology cylinder is a manifold with parameterized boundary, which has a homology type of some closed boundary. That's all. So now, in this picture, you can see the boundary identification for them, but later it will be useful, convenient, to split it into two parts. So we will split it into M plus and M minus. So M plus is the restriction of M to the top surface, and I call the image partial plus of M. And similarly, M minus is the restriction of M to sigma cross minus 1. And like this, we can think of homology cylinders as cobordisms between two copies of sigma. Voilà. So that's the definition. And now we consider homology cylinders all together. So I did not by purely axis sigma here the set of homology cylinders up to orientation preserving and boundary parameterization and preserving homomorphisms. And this set is an operation. So if you take two homology cylinders, M and N prime, you can compose them. You can define M circle N prime to as the grouping of M prime on the top of M. So that's the usual way of composing cobordisms. And for this, we need the boundary identifications. And because we are considering homology cylinders up to homomorphism, this operation is associative, and the unit element is the trivial cylinder with the identity as parameterization. So this set is actually a monoid. And there are two examples. So first of all, if we consider the disk, if sigma is a disk, then we are here considering homology ball. But homology ball is the same thing as the homology sphere, because you just have to glue the free ball to get the homology sphere. So this monoid of homology disk is isomorphic to the monoid of homology spheres with the connected sum operation.
Are we working in the oriented category now?
Yes, oriented category. Okay, so the next example, which is orthogonal to the case of homology spheres, is the Torelli group again. So for any element F of the Torelli group, you can consider the mapping cylinder, which means that you consider the trivial cylinder, but now the dot surface is not parametrized with the identity, but with small f. And so this defines an embedding of the Torelli group inside the monoid of homology cylinders. And that's unique because two homomorphisms of sigma are isotopic if and only if they are homotopic. So that's an embedding, and the image is actually the group of invertible elements of that monoid. So that will be the two examples of homology cylinders. Okay, so now, let us come back to the YK equivalence relation. So we have defined them in full generality, and now we would like to restrict them to homology cylinders. And in the second social sigma is fixed, so I will simply denote by purely IC, the monoid of homology cylinders, and by purely I, totally. Okay. And so, Gusarov and Aviro consider the following equation on the monoid of homology cylinders. So they consider for any integer k, the subset of those homology cylinders which are yk equivalent to the trivial cylinder. So like this, we have a decreasing sequence of submonoids. And in their work, this filtration plays the role of is analogous to the role played by the lower central series for the Turing. So I can give one of the results which illustrates this analogy. Maybe it's the most important one in, for the case of homology cylinders. So if you consider homology cylinders up to the YK Poisson equivalence, then this monoid becomes a group. You can invert elements. And moreover, it is a nilpotent of nilpotentical scale. And furthermore, you, so you know that if you take the grounded object associated to the lower central series of any group, like the Torelli group, which means the direct sum of the gamma I, so you know, the gamma k plus I, so this grounded abelian group is actually a graded ring. So the same thing happens for grow Y IC. So the direct sum of all the graded projects. And to prove this kind of results, Gusarov and Aviro use another viewpoint on the YK equivalence, because it turns out that the YK equivalence is actually generated by surgeries along so-called graph clusters. So graph clusters are graphs of this kind. So there is a tree like this, unit equivalence, and which is in the manifold. And each univalent vertex of the tree is attached a dot, a leaf, which travels along the manifold in some way. And everything is framed, and you can associate to any graph cluster framing. And the procedure is the following one. You replace each trivalent vertex by the copies of the Borromean rings on each edge by a copy of the object. And the surgery along that graph is defined to be the surgery along that framing. And so that's an important difference with the jQuery equivalence, because for the jQuery equivalence we don't know generators, but for the YK equivalence we know generators. And moreover, we know a calculus that was developed by Gusarov on Aviro, and which can be thought of as an embedded version of commutator calculus in course. And this kind of calculus will allow you to prove some results, such as this one. So I will not say more about this calculus, which is technical, but there are several experts in the audience. And it is a little bit technical, but it's, you can think of it as a kind of commutator calculus.
Can you just say what the link is that you put on the high valence vertices for the higher k?
For the higher cases in the big four, for example.
Yeah.
Okay. The same rule is just if you have a graph of any degree, for example, big four. So the rule is
I'm sorry, okay, I understand now. Okay.
Some Borromean rings here, yes, some top rings here.
K refers to the number of vertices in the class tree.
Okay. So that's one of the orders. So now what is known about these variations in low degrees? So first of all, like for homology sphere, any homology cylinder is Y1 equivalent to the trivial cylinder. But the Y2 equivalence is not trivial. And actually, the group IC modulo Y2 is isomorphic to the hybridization of the Torelli group.
which means I log log gamma 12, which was computed for Johnson, by Johnson, in the 80s. And in Genus at 3, he exactly found this, so that's an analog of this computation. And there are two terms. So the first term is the Fonestier power of the first order equal to sigma. And this is the target of Johnson homomorphism. So this has something to do with cohomology rings of manifolds. And the second factor is the target of the Biermann-Crank homomorphisms, which is defined using the Rockin invariant. And it is, this is a two-torsion abelian. And there are some relations between the two, which is not the Cartesian product, but the fiber product. So just to say you that white root is already classified for homology sigmas. And in this case, it's isomorphic to the analogous group for the toroidal. So my aim is, my goal is today is to characterize white root. And to do so, we need to define topological invariants of homology sigmas, in classical topological invariants, or to recall. Okay, so the first invariant is easily defined. So again, we consider the lower central series of the group, and recall that we started the talk with an action of the toroidal group on the k-nilpotent quotient of pi. So the statement is that this representation can be extended to the monoid of homology sigmas. So this representation has been studied by the Rofaldis and Levin. They characterize the image. But I just need the definition today. So the definition is as follows. So we start with homology cylinder N. So we call that there is a parametrization of the top surface, small n plus, and a parametrization of the bottom surface, small n minus. And by the definition, both of them induce isomorphism at the level of homology. And this, by algebraic result of Stalling's, implies that they induce isomorphisms at the level of each nilpotent quotient. So we just define rho Km to be the isomorphism induced by n cross with the inverse of the isomorphism induced by n minus. So, for example, if you take k equal 1, this representation is trivial because it's the action on the homology. If you take k equal 2, this homomorphism rho 2 is equivalent to the Johnson homomorphism, which I developed on the previous slide. And if you take k equal 3, then we will need it to classify well. So I need y3. Okay, so that's the first invariant. The second invariant is a version of the Alexander polynomial. So we denote by H the first homology group of sigma. And we define a relative version of the Alexander polynomial. By relative, I mean relative to the bottom boundary. And for this, we just look at the first homology group of M relative to the bottom boundary with twisted coefficients in the edge. And here, the coefficients are twisted using the bottom boundary parametrization. So this is the ZH module. So yesterday, so Tom defined the order of the ZH module. So you take this order. But as you know, an order is only defined up to a multiplication by an invertible element of the ring. So there is an ambiguity. It is defined up to multiplication by plus or minus 1 h. Okay. But if you remember the analogous situation of closed manifold, there is also an ambiguity. But 2F shows that if you add the structures, what's the linear structures to the manifolds, then this ambiguity can be fixed. And this work has been extended by Benedetti and Petronio to the case of three manifolds with boundary. And in this situation of homology cylinders, so we don't see very well the cobordism, but this is a cobordism M, but with smooth corners, and we have to fix a special vector filled with zero on the boundary, which is outward normal on the top surface and inward normal on the bottom surface. And in this context, the set of relative layer structures is defined to be punctured on the faces for non-singular vector fields, which extend this zero. And what Benedetti and Petronio prove is that each time you choose such a structure, and there is also, in this case, there is no orientation problem, each time you choose an layer structure, you can define a Rademacher to wave type invariant, which is valued in the fraction ring of the grouping. And this invariant was has recently reappeared in some work of Friedel, Schulz, and Rasmussen in the stronger context of structured Gauss flow homology. But in the situation of homology cylinders, which is special, this fraction is actually a Laurent polynomial, and it turns out, and this is well known for the torsion, to represent the relative Alexander polynomial. And furthermore, you can define a preferred layer structure psi zero, which somehow has a non-singular section for its normal bundle. Yes. And doing this, you can normalize the Alexander polynomial delta by declaring it to be the torsion computed with a specific relative layer structure psi zero. And so this is important to have the normalized, because like this, you can consider the finite properties of this invariant. And in particular, using the Schellingworth homomorphisms, which appeared in Christian talk, you can extract from this invariant a degree 2 part, which is a degree 2 tensor in H. And here, S2H appears because it is isomorphic to the I2 module I3, where I is the amount of an I2. So from the Alexander polynomial, I will just need this degree 2 part. I have to do all these steps. Okay. So that's the second invariant. So we need a third invariant, which is more easy to define. So it's just a variation of Kelsen. So we consider sigma zero. So the usual surface with the same topology as sigma. By which I mean that if I do a small disk, it's an Hilbert surface of S3. And then I have to choose an identification between sigma and sigma 0. So I choose one, and I just define the Kelsen invariant of N to be the Kelsen invariant of the homology sphere where in S3 I have replaced the regular neighborhood of sigma 0 by this homology cylinder. So that's a new homology sphere, so I can compute its custom. That's an integer. But the warning is that this definition depends on the shelf object. And I will come back to this dependency later. But it is not an intrinsic invariant, but it is easy to compute because one knows several surgery descriptions of Kesson. And so that's enough for our purpose. So we have the following statements. So two homology cylinders are Y3 equivalent if and only if they act the same way on the third nilpotent quotient. They have the same Alexander polynomial, normalized polynomial, up to degree 2, and they have the same Kelsen. Okay, so that's the classification of Y3 in terms of three classical invariants. And now recall that Y3 is stronger than J3. So using this implication, we can classify J3. So we have the same statement, but the Kelsen invariant has disappeared. And the corollary can be proved from the theorem by doing some Kasper calculus and using a previous result of Mota from the 80s, saying that there is a homology sphere, which is J3 plus 1.3, and whose Kelsen is equal to 1. So this is due to Mota. So now let us look if it is compatible with what we know about homology spheres. So if we take the disk, the fundamental group of a surface trivial. So this invariant, rho 3, on alpha or trivial. So we recover a Bayes result that Y3 is classified by Casson, and Pitch result that any homology sphere is J3 equivalent by S3. So now, in the second of the talk, I would like to sketch the proof of this statement. And for this, I will need the Einhorn invariant. So I will just recall the very main feature of the invariant, not the definition. So the first main feature is that it's defined for closed manifold, which is stronger for homology spheres. And it is defined by considering surgery presentation of the homology sphere in S3 and using the constitutive integral, which has been defined yesterday in Antoine Alexeyev talks. So there is a receipt to define this invariant. And the target of this space is the space of Jacobi diagrams, so which are finite graphs whose vertices are trivalent and oriented. And there are two relations that we have met yesterday in Robert-Nathan's talk. So the antisymmetry or ES relation, Jacobi or IHX identity. So that's a vector space. Okay, so this vector space has a degree. So today the degree will be the number of vertices. So the simplest diagram is a tetragraph. And the coefficient of the tetragraph is the Casson invariant divided by 2. So then this invariant, which concerns homology spheres, can be extended to an invariant of manifold with boundary in several ways. So from the Einhorn invariant, so you can construct some DPFT type invariants. And the first construction done by Murat Kami and Tuki. And the second construction by Kepler and Erich. And here I'm referring to another construction which we have called the Elmo functor, and which is defined on the category of Lagrangian cobordisms, which Caso mentioned. So I won't recall the definition of this invariant, but I will just tell you what happens if you restrict it to homology cylinders. So if you restrict it to homology cylinders, you get an invariant, and this invariant has values in the following space. So now you have to consider the homology of the surface and the intersection pairing. And you consider finite graphs with two types of vertices. So those vertices can be trivalent oriented, like before, or they can be univalent colored by the first homology group of sigma. So here is an example. So again, the quotient we wrote out by the antisymmetry on IHX relation. And there is also the multi-linearity relations, which tells you that those kind of diagrams behave like tensors. So you can distribute like this, for example. So you have distributed the northwest column. So there is a degree, which is a number of trivalent vertices. And there is a multiplication. So if you take two diagrams, D and E, the star product is defined to be the sum of all ways of contracting some of the univalent vertices of D. So maybe I can draw a picture. So D is like this. So you put all its univalent vertices on the top. And E is like this. And if you think of them as tensor, you can contract using omega divided by 2. So that's an analog of the Moyle-Weil property. And this operation is associated. So you can rest, it gives a Lie algebra, it gives a Lie quartet. And so the Helmholtz functor, if you restrict it to a filter to the monoid of homology cylinder, it gives a filtered monoid of homologies, which means that the composition is sent to the star product, and the white filtration is sent to the debris filtration, this debris. And at the Godel level, this invariant induce an isomorphism between the space of Jacobi diagrams, connected diagrams in the space, and the graded object associated to the monoid of homology cylinders, but with rational coefficients. And furthermore, these isomorphisms respect the action of the synthetic group that one has on both sides. And that action is useful for computations. Okay. So, and if you take the disk, this says that the LMO invariant is the universal quantum invariant, which is due to quantum. So that's the generalization of this. So now to come back to Y3. So the proof can be split into two parts. So first, one has to show that two homology cylinders are Y3 equivalent if and only if the LMO agree up to degree 2. And for this, we use the classification of Y2, which I mentioned. So we have to understand how we have to first to check that Behrend-Kreuz homomorphisms, which take values in two torsion groups, are determined by Z at plus 2. And then we use the isomorphism Grozzi in degree 2. But recall that the isomorphism in the previous slide was for rational coefficients. So there is a torsion issue to solve, but there is no problem here because if you take the analogous space defined with integral coefficients, this space has no torsion, and this is due to Lie. So that you can work with Z coefficients. Okay, so then the second step, I guess, is to show that the LMO invariant up to degree 2 actually unfolds is equivalent to the three classical invariants, O3, alpha, and lambda j. And indeed, if we draw the list of Jacobi diagrams up to degree 2, there is a Y on the H graph, and this encodes the action on the third dependent quotients, and this encoding can be stated in very precise terms. And if the Y part vanishes, the phi graph will correspond with a factor to the degree two part of the Alexander polynomial. And finally, if the Y, the H, and the phi vanishes, then the coefficient in the front of theta, like for homology spheres, will be the Kassel invariant. So that's more or less the way the proof can be decomposed. Okay. So I think the proof can avoid the LMO morphisms. But then you would have to do more Casper calculus. Okay. So I think I have 10 minutes. Yeah. Okay. So in the remaining time, I would like to come back to the Kassel invariant. So recall that we have defined a map lambda j. But I complain about the fact that it depends on the choice of an identification J between the surface with which we are working and the abstract surface, the usual surface, sigma 0. And this dependency has been studied by Morita in the 80s, and he mainly considered the subgroup, which was mentioned by Christian also in his book, which is the kernel of Rho 2, the elements which act trivially on the second important quotient of path. And this subgroup has been called by Christian the Johnson subgroup, because Johnson proves that it is generated by Dan Twist along bonding sequences. And here I just recall the local definition of Dan Twist. So this group is important in Kapok theory, and Morita has considered the restriction of lambda j to this subgroup. So he proved the following. So if you restrict lambda j to the Johnson subgroup, then you get a group homomorphism, and this group homomorphism splits into two parts. So there is one part, Qj, which still depends on J. And this part can be explicitly defined from O3. So I recall that O3 is the values in O3 and the macro pi. And the second part is a deeper invariant. It is defined by Morita using some low degree, knowing the cohomology of the mapping class groups in low degrees. And the definition is more delicate, but it's easy to define it on the generators, because for each generator, 2 gamma, you just send 2 gamma to 4h minus 1, where h is the genus of the class. So Morita, when he did this work, he called V the core of the Casson invariant. Because before each, Morita conjectured that any homology sphere is J4 equivalent to SP. So in this case, if you want to compute the Casson invariant, this part vanishes, so you just have to compute the D. So, D is the essence of Casson. And so, one can ask the question if it's possible to replace in the previous classification of Y3 lambda j by something analogous. So is it possible to extend D to the monoid of homology symbols? Yes, it's possible, but like Morita, we have to restrict to the kernel, to the same monoid of IC, which acts trivially on the second nilpotent quotient of pi. And then the following can be proved. So there is a unique way to extend the Morita score of Casson to that monoid in such a way that the extension is still multiplicative, is preserved by Y3 equivalence, and by the mapping class group action by conjugation. And if we don't put a genus assumption, we also have to add that it is preserved by boundary connected sub-operation of things. So the proof is hopefully like this. So the unicity was already mainly known, in fact, and also the existence with values in Q, not in Z, in Q. Because since we have asked the invariants under the mapping class group action, then this amounts to consider for the graded object an action of the sample KB. So it's enough to compare the SP invariant part of grove gamma 2 of I on grove YIC in degree 2, which was already known. And for the existence, so we reverse Morita's formula. So we define D to be minus 24 lambda j plus kj. But if we just do that, this does not work for homology cylinders. We have to add a third term, which is transparent for the Torrey group, but which exists for homology cylinders, and which is derived in some way from the degree 2 part of Alexander. And the way it is derived from Alexander is suggested by the computation of the LMO. So there is an explicit computation, an explicit formula. So for example, this can be a formula. So in the case, So if you consider the module IC bracket 2 modulo by 3, so this group, and this group is generated by surgeries along two kinds of papers. So first the edge graph, like this, and the Y graph with a special leaf, like this. And for example, the formula, maybe you can do the formula. So if you do surgery along this Y graph, then the variation of dmy of d under surgery on this graph is easy. So it is minus 24, the framing number, so I call this k, this not k, this not l. And the formula is minus 24, the framing number of k times the framing number of l, plus 12 times something, which I will not give, which is not complicated, and which is defined from the linking numbers of k and l. But in the homology scenarios, you have two kinds of linking numbers, a positive one and a negative one. So you can give formulas for each generator. So from this formula, you see that this invariant is intersect. It does not depend on choices. But we are still not satisfied because you see this formula gives rise to an intrinsic invariant, but its definition still makes J appear. So one would like to have an intrinsic formula from the beginning. And so this could be connected to some work, previous work of Morita. So Morita gave another definition of this curve, using a signature defect of three manifold with two frames. And Dominic Picot, in Orthesis, started to extend this invariant to homology cylinders. And this work has been completed recently by Manchet. So it could happen that their invariant, which is intrinsic, defined with a signature defect, coincide with this one, which is defined using finite-type invariant theory. And that's what I wanted to say.
IC modulo YK always a group. It's always a monoid, but I didn't understand it's always a group.
Yes?
It's always.
Yes, IC modulo Y4 for any. Sorry, IC modulo YK for any K is always a group, yes.
And so the inverse is what? The mirror image?
So the inverse is it's not the point image. It is more difficult to define. If you take. So if you take so in IC module, for example, YK plus 1, so I can tell you the inverse for a subgroup of this, which is a subgroup YK IC modulo YK plus 1. So this is a real group. And if it, an element like this, in this group, M, is something like the usual cylinder, sigma plus minus 1, 1, modified by surgery along the graph G, the graph Casper G. So the graph Casper G is something like this, but locally. And then M inverse. Then M inverse, will be the result of the surgery along G prime. So this is G. And G prime is the same graph where you have added the half twist on an edge, on any edge, the edge group. So the diversion is given by making a half twist to an edge.